You're listening to Amud Vechazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Masecha Shabbos, Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis. We are going to start a little bit on the, around, what was it, 10 lines up from the bottom, Chof Tes Amud Aleph, Rav Hamnuna. So we're dealing with this Mishnah for a while, the Mishnah on the previous Amud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, talking about not singeing the wicks. That's like the rolled up clothing, the fold over clothing, and why they disagree. So we first gave a pshat about it losing its status as a kli and it's no longer a kavatoma, and that explains both the machlokasin. And we've been giving different approaches now for how to deal with these two machlokasin in the Mishnah. Right, it's unclear if they're related or not. They disagree first of all about the status. Is it tame? Is it still susceptible to tuma, or did it lose its susceptibility to tuma and now it is considered tahora? That's one machlokas, and also machlokas is whether or not you can use it on Shabbos. You can light with these things on Shabbos. So we just suggested a different thing that they're arguing about. They're arguing about whether or not you're allowed to use these on Shabbos because it could be they don't light well. And Rabbi Eliezer is more machmir, right? He says that it needs to be. Rabbi Eliezer says that ain't my licking bob because he says that it doesn't light well. And Rabbi Akiva says no, it's fine. But now we're going to suggest a different pshat in what they're arguing about in its status as a kli or a beged still, and its susceptibility to tumah. Why is it that Rabbi Eliezer says that it is tumeya, and Rabbi Akiva says it's tahora? So let's take a look. By Rav Hamnuna, correct? Okay, so Rav Hamnuna Amar Hacha bePachas Mishloshah Shloshah Skinan. So this case that they're arguing about is where we're dealing with something that's smaller than 3 by 3 tefachim, right? Umekule Matlanios Shanu, and it's with the lessening, the taking lightly of Matlanios that is taught. Matlanios are like cloths, like shmatas, rags. So mekule matlanios, says Rashi, matlanios hakalos be'enov. That what does it mean mekule? It's that the matlanios, that these rags are lowered in the owner of the rag's eyes. Dumid mesukanos lefkok lemerchatz. That it makes them basically he designates them to be used to plug up like something in a merchatz, like you know, to plug up I guess a tub. It's something that's not chashev. The people did not cut right. So that's what the discussion is. As we're going to see, the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, we're going to throw in Rabbi Yeshua as well. The machlokes is going to be if one of these small, less than 3 by 3 tefachim cloths, smaller, bigger than 3 by 3 etzbaos, yes, but smaller than 3 by 3 tefachim, and it's going to be designated for like a very garbagey purpose that shows that we're not really valuing it anymore. And you store it in a certain way, you leave it in a certain way or put it somewhere, by it being placed there along with the designation for a, like one of these like throwaway shmata purposes, it loses its status as a beged. And that's what they're going to argue about. So now Rashi is saying, in the Mishnah, it's specifically talking about like the kipol denakat, it shows like the folding over, mishum havhov denakat dafka, lepug dahalacha tano kipol. That we wanted to mention two machlokasin at once, so we wanted to discuss the hadlaka thing, so that's why we mentioned specifically it was folded over and not singed, because we want that's not relevant to the tahor susceptibility machlokas. It's more for the hadlaka one. Meaning another way we explained this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, that right, they argued in two areas, but really it was all hanging on one main nakuda, which is the status of the beged as retaining its status as a beged. But over here we're saying no, it's two different. it's two different machlokas that they're having about the same topic, but two different, meaning with the same item, but two different machlokas. And the fact that it chose the case of where it's folded into a wick and it wasn't singed, so that's not so relevant to this next point. So let's hear, what is this machloka? And we are talking about where the over here, we're teaching over here where it is the Mekulei Matlanios. Okay. The answer Rabbi Eliezer Latame, Rabbi Kiva Latame, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva go according to their reasoning. Ditnan, as we learned in a Mishnah in Kalim. If you have something that's less than 3x3 tefachim, but of course at least 3x3 it's bos, and it was designated at lifkok as bos amerchatz. Rashi says nikavim shamayim boim derech sham lamerchatz. Right, to plug up the holes that the mayim comes through. To go to the merchatz, so to plug up the holes, you use this thing. Ulanar boas hakadera, and also to like to mix a kadera. Rashi says laachos bahen shuli kadera, right? That you're to hold like the sides of the pot. Ulanar and to mix it lasochatamchoy, right? That in the kitchen basically. So like an oven mit, like an oven mit shmata. And also to clean the mill. So these types of purposes, it's very close to losing its status as a beged. Depends on what you do with it. So bain, and we're going to use a vague phrase for that, which we're going to explain momentarily. Bain min hamuchan, ubain she'ein min hamuchan. Whether it is from the muchan, it was placed from the muchan, meaning like ready, right? Prepared. Or whether it's not stored in a place that it is prepared, tame, it's susceptible to tuma. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. We're going to explain what that means. Rabbi Yeshua, oh right, Rashi even tells us. Right, if you're getting anxious to know what that means, Rashi also jumps in and says, "Bein lekanim first." We're going to get there. Don't worry. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, bein min amuchan ubein shalom min amuchan. Whether it's stored in this prepare in a prepared way or it's not, tahor. It's tahor. Rabbi Kiva Omer, min amuchan tame. If it's in a prepared way, if it's put in a place that it's prepared, then it's tame. It retains a status as a beged and then it continues to be susceptible to tuma. Vishalom min amuchan. But if it's stored in a not prepared way, tahor. It's going to be tahor. So it's a three-way machlokas. In the way that we physically treat one of these matlanios, one of these rags, there's going to be a three-way machlok. This is a three-way machlokas. Whether the way we store it, how that will impact its status as a beged and therefore its susceptibility to tuma. Okay, so let's explain. The Amar Ulan Ula says Amar Viseima Rabba Bar Barchanan. Some say it was Rabba Barchanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, name Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol Modim Zorku Ba'Ashba Divrei Kol Tahara. Everybody agrees that if you threw it in the garbage, right, you took this rag and you threw it into a garbage heap, it loses its status. The most, not just Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, even Rabbi Eliezer will hold that. If you throw it in the garbage, because Rabbi Eliezer says, for Rabbi Eliezer, it stays tummy for a while, right? For him, it's very hard for him to be, to consider the beged, but he says if it's thrown in the garbage, this rag's in the garbage, it loses its status as a beged, as a kli, it's no longer susceptible to tuma. Also, hanicho bakufsa, the other extreme, you place it in a kufsa, a box, a nice chest, a good container, divrei kol tame. Everyone says it's tame. So those are the two ends of the spectrum. What's a very clear action that demonstrates you're done with it? Garbage. What's a very clear demonstration that, no, I'm machshev this? Put it away in a chest. So everyone agrees in that. So it's only the gray area where there's a machlokas, and here's the gray area. Lo nechlechu ela shetalo b'magod, where you like hung it on some sort of peg, o shehenicho l'achore hadelis, or you kind of placed it behind the door. So this is like a gray area. Rashi is just going to help us a little bit. We'll take a look at the top Rashi. Hanichu v'kufsa gully date dechoshev le. It's megala d'as that he is that it's choshev to him. Bimagod kabila d'gora mikufsa. So on this peg. On the door, it's not as chashav as being put in a kufsa, so it's a little more gray than that. Va'adiv me'chore adeles, but it is a higher level than putting it behind the door. Va'achore adeles adiv mizarkul ashba, but for sure, putting it behind the door is not as bad as throwing it in the garbage. Umuchan de Rabbi Eliezer hainu kufsa v'shalomen amuchan magod va'achore adeles. So now, to just draw that out for us. So if you throw it in the garbage, it's for sure it's tahor. If you put it in a chest, it's for sure susceptible to tumah. The gray area, so a little bit less, according to some, than putting it in the garbage is putting it on a peg. A little bit more chashev is putting it behind the door. The Degar Mekufsa v'adiv mechor adelas. Yeah, v'chor adelas adiv mizarka la'ashba. Right. So the magod is better. Putting it on the peg is better than just like putting it, I guess, behind the door. So that's the gray area, and that's where these three opinions disagree. So let's plug in the muchans and the not muchans. Third line. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Midelo Zarko Ba'ashpa. Rabbi Eliezer says, from the fact that you don't throw it in the garbage, Data Yilave, your mind is on it. Meaning, I don't care if it's in a chest, or even if it's, you know, on a peg, or even if it's behind the door. If it's not in the garbage, clearly your mind is still on it, you're machshev it, and it's still considered a kli, a beged, and susceptible to tumah. So, Umay Kari Le Shalom in Amuchan. So, but we called it not mina muchan. It's not in a prepared place. I understand it's muchan if it's like put in a chest, but Rabbi Eliezer said whether it's muchan or not mina muchan. So when he calls it shalom mina muchan, to the gabe kufsa lav muchan hu. If it's behind the door, it's on a peg. So compared to being put in a chest, it's like it's not muchan. But even those cases, Rabbi Eliezer says, it retains its status as a beged. However, if you throw it in the garbage, of course, Rabbi Eliezer would admit that it loses its status as a beged. But whether it's muchan in a kufsa, or even if it's not muchan on like a kufsa standard, but it's in like an unprepared place, like a beg, like a on a peg or behind a door, so it would be. So it retains status as a beged. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Midelo Hanicho Bekufsa Betule Batle. Rabbi Yeshua says, oh, no, if you don't put it in a chest, it is considered batel. It's batel, right? Whether it's the garbage or it's on a peg or behind the door, if it's not in a chest, clearly you're not machshev it anymore. It loses the status of the beged. Umay Kari Le Muchan. Right? Remember, Rabbi Yeshua said that whether it's muchan or not muchan. So wait, if it's muchan, if it's put in a prepared place, even if it's muchan, Rabbi Yeshua would say that it retains the status of the beged. No, so it means dilgabe ashba muchanu. Like comparatively to the garbage heap, it's muchan. But when he said even if it's muchan, it still retains, it still loses the status as a beged. He didn't mean muchan to the extent of a kufsa. I meant muchan like a peg behind the door. Muchan relative to garbage. Rabbi Akiva betalo b'magod savar k'Rabbi Eliezer b'nicho achor adeles savar la k'Rabbi Yeshua. And remember what we said in the previous song. Rabbi Akiva said that if it's muchan, then it retains its status, and if it's not muchan, it doesn't retain its status. So his definition of muchan and not muchan is that it's between the peg and behind the door. Then he says that he calls like Rabbi Eliezer if it's behind the door. So he says behind the door that's a chashev place. That's a little bit more. If it's bemogod, if it's on a peg, so that's pretty good. That's like just right under the level of a kufsa. I hold like Rabbi Eliezer that it's tameh, and he said that it retains its status as a beged, and then for tameya. But if it's behind a door, that's very close to a garbage heap. In that case, I hold like Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, make sense? It does, but was that clear? That's not the question. So the Hodder Bay Rabbi Akiva. So now we have these three opinions. We have these three opinions in this mission now, and we're trying to explain why they disagree in the mission that we learned in our Masechta. That's a mission on Caleb, but the mission in our Masechta talks about this like folded over stuff that singed, and does it lose its status as a beged or not? So it's that's really the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva of whether it's a demonstration of him being not machshiv anymore or not. So he says, the Hodr be Rabbi Akiva legabe Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva ultimately retracted and held like Rabbi Yeshua. So he goes to basically the other end of the spectrum. Not the other end of the spectrum. He just slides over a little bit to Rabbi Yeshua's end, and he holds that really if you put it anywhere except a kufsa, it's going to lose its status as a beged and be tameya. It's going to and lose its susceptibility to tuma and be Torah. So now the Gemara asks, mimai. How do we know that? How do we know that he's really that he really went back and retracted? It's actually not so pushy because you know who knows what this case is. This case in our mission was talking about. Maybe it's not talking about you know the exact case we're talking about. If it was put on a peg or whatever, right? Like, meaning it could be like you shouldn't feel forced just because Rabbi Akiva says it's tahora in the previous mishnah. You shouldn't be forced to say, "Oh, and he hells like Rabbi Yeshua." Maybe our case in the Mishnah is talking about where the Matlania is behind the door, and then anyway, Rabbi Akiva, without retracting his position, would say it loses its status as a beged. So how do we know he retracted? So Amar Rava explains midiktani from the fact that the Mishnah teaches psilas habeged. Right, for, it says that it calls it psilas habeged as opposed to my irya detani psilas habeged. What's it doing teaching psilas habeged? Listen, let it teach psila shel beged. It says it's the wick of clothing as opposed to a wick of clothing. So in English, it doesn't really sound so different. But we'll read Gemara's response and then Rashi in a moment. My psilas habeged. Dedayin beged hu. What does it mean that it's psila se beged as opposed to psila shel beged? It means that it still has its status as a beged, meaning it retained its status. So Rashi says over here, shel beged mashma shekipla mi beged ha beged mashma shekafal ha beged atzmo shalim. That the lashon of psila se beged implies that it was still like it's like a wick that's made of the beged, as opposed to made from threads that were taken from a beged. That's psila shel beged, but psila sa beged has implications that it was taken from the beged itself, meaning that he holds that the beged would retain its status. Right. So over here. So it's since it retains its status as a beged, so it must be that Rabbi Akiva retracted and went according to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay. So next Mishnah. Lo yikada yikov adam shvoferes shel beitzo yimalena shemen. Okay. So a person is not allowed to yikov to make a hole to perforate shvoferes shel beitzo, the eggshell, a shell of an egg. V'malaena shemen and fill it up with oil. V'yitnena al pi haner and put it on top of the opening of a candle, of a lamp, really. V'shvil shtehemen atefes for the purpose of it dripping into it. Right, meaning what you try to do is you try to create like a reservoir that will Let's say the lamp only holds so much oil. You'd like it to be able to go the whole night. The lamp doesn't hold enough oil. So what you do is you fill, you have a perforate an egg with holes in it, eggshell with holes in it, and you fill it up with oil, and that will drip through the egg, and you have just an extra, extra few hours worth of oil, let's say, to go in. So this is actually a problem. And let's say it's not a case where it's a perforated eggshell, but rather it's like an extension of cheres. It's a pottery. You cannot do that on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. So let's take a look at some Rashi's. Rashi says matavas v'is kaim aner shetehei Hashem and metaftet kol shal l'soch aner. So it should be able to drip inside. The taima and the reason for it, mishum gzeira shema yistape kemenu. We're concerned maybe you're going to want to use from it, right? You're going to have this eggshell or even some pottery, perforated pottery at the top of the lamp, but there's like a nice big thing of oil. You might come to use it for whatever you might use it for. I don't know. Put it on your food, smell it if it smells good. It's the sorry stuff, which I guess you shouldn't be using anyway, in fact, that's the exact reason we're not allowed to use, or one of the two to three reasons we gave why you're not allowed to use, sorry. So, the time I'm mishum gzirshis tapik himanu, you might come to take from it, and what's the problem? The kevan sheketseyu l'ner, chayev mishum mechabe. Once you're taken from the ner, one of the 39 malachos is mechabe, extinguishing. And taking away from the oil is considered extinguishing the flame. Whether you're making the flame itself weaker or just for a shorter time, but that is a problem to take the oil out. And even if it's a cheres, which is like disgusting, meaning once it's put in the shvoferes, so the oil isn't such quality oil anymore, so people are less likely to take it. But even of cheres, the gzera was imposed. An eggshell, no. Okay, so and the Gemara is going to explain that. Okay, so now we have this case where there's you can't have a perforated eggshell over the lamp. You can't have perforated pottery over the lamp because of that gzera. And Rabbi Yehuda is matir. Rabbi Yehuda is matir. Aval im chibra hayotzer mitchila mutter. But if the potter connected them, so it's now one piece, mipnei shehu kli echad. It's mutter because it's all one kli. And if it's all one kli, if it's all one kli, Rashi says, leka lamecha shtimishum iser shabbos badel minei. A person's going to be very careful. He's going to like be very aware of what this is and it's part of it, and he's going to be very careful because it's more obvious that he shouldn't be taking from it. And one more rule, I think one more. Lo yimali adam ka'ara shel shemen v'kneh betzad haner. A person should not fill up his dish with oil and place it next to the candle. V'yitein rosh ha'psila besocha, and then take the head of a wick in it. B'shvil shedei sho'eves. In a way that it's going to draw from it, meaning you have the lamp, you have a lamp of oil, and there's a wick in it, but the wick is actually very long, and it extends out, right, and it extends out of this lamp into another bowl, another dish of oil. So right, double the oil, double the fun, double the hours of learning, but you can't do that. Right? Why? So we'll get to that. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda says it is okay. Right? So the reason is the same thing. Right? That you might come to take from that. Okay. V'tzricha. And we need it. We need to teach. We need all of these cases. Right? So the case of the perforated eggshell. The case of the perforated pottery on top. And the case of the dish side by side with the extra long wick. We need all these cases. So first we're going to explain the reason why that we need the first two. Dias minan shvofer eshel beitza. If it only taught the perforated eggshell, that's a problem. B'ha kamri rabbanan dekeven delomi isa asilas tepuke mina. That we would assume that the rabbanan are only argue, that in this the rabbanan argue that since it's not since it's not disgusting, so you're going to benefit from it. Aval shacheres dimeisa imamodule l'Rabbi Yehuda. Right? If it would only say the shofares case, so I would say that that when it comes to cheres, then everybody would say it's fine. That even the strict rabbanon would say it's fine, because if it's in cheres, no one's going to be using that oil anyway. So that's what I would think. So I really needed to have this cheres case. And if it would have just taught the cheres case, so I would say Bahakam Rabbi Yehuda, aval bahi. So that where does Rabbi Yehuda argue in the cheres case? Avahi ema modi lehu rabbanan. But I would say that in the other case, in the case of the egg, the rabbanan would agree. So we really need to have both. Those as well. One second. All right. Shin shacheres v'hakam Rabbi Yehuda aval bahi ema modi lehu rabbanan. So, in order to clearly delineate the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, we say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan disagree in both cases. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda is not just makel in the case of the cheres, which there's more room to be makel because it makes the oil disgusting, but he's also in the eggshell case. And the Rabbanan don't think that they're just machmir in the eggshell case, they're even machmir in the cheres case. So in order to demonstrate these opinions and their kulos and their chumros, irrespective, of the type of kli it is and its impact on the oil. And if it would only have taught these two cases without the dish case, that this is where Rabbi Yehuda is makel, because there's no like separation between things, right? The eggshell and the perforated pottery are right on top of it. But since there's like a distance between the dish, they're not like it, even meaning the eggshell and the pottery case, even though they're not fully attached, but they're at least like touching. They're like it. It's not really attached, but it's a little bit. But it's not like a complete like separation of two different kalim, of the dish. So if I would have only taught those two cases, I would have said, okay, but for sure, even Rabbi Yehuda, Mr. Makel, would be very machmir in the case of where the dish is separated. Mashmalan, no. Right? And let's say we would only learn the dish case. Bahi kami Rabbanan. So when maybe we'd say the Rabbanan are only machmir in that, where there's that hafsaka. Ava bahani tarti ema modu l'Rabbi Yehuda. But maybe the Rabbanan would be makel like Rabbi Yehuda in the cases where there is no hefsik, like the perforated eggshell or pottery, and therefore it's tzricha. We need all these cases. Okay, v'im chibra hayotzer mitchila mutar v'chulei. So we said that this is the kula that even the Rabbanan agreed to, that if it was connected, if the potter connected these two things, it's mutar. Tana im chibra b'sidu b'charasis mutar. Right. So we have a brayso that teaches that if he connected it with sid or charasis, it's not charoses. That's with pottery. That's clay. So if he did it with like lime, I guess lime sid is lime or clay, mutar. Hold on. The anan yotzer tnan. But we have a Mishnah that taught that it needs like the potter to do it. Do you need a professional job? So my yotzer, right? Like meaning the implication of the brisa is that it's like and the person, the owner of the stuff, could do it. But our Mishnah implies that it needs to be a potter. So tnan. So vanan yotzer tnan. So my yotzer ke'en yotzer. What does it mean that the potter is? It means like a yotzer. Meaning no, like it just did. Like Rashi says shechaber shapir. It means you did a good job. It doesn't mean that you need a professional job. You just need. It doesn't mean you need literally a yotzer. We need to have done a good job connecting it. Okay. Tanya, we don't have to Amar Yehuda pam achas shebatenu ba'aliyas beis nitza belod. So one time I was I was we were doing Shabbos in the attic of Beis Nitza. I don't know who exactly it is in Lud, the Nitza family in Lud. And they brought for us a perforated eggshell, and they filled it with oil, and they put a hole in it, and they placed on top of And Rabbi Tarfon and the Zakenim were all there, and they didn't say anything. They didn't you know comment that it was inappropriate. So Masma, it sounds like it's okay, an okay thing to do. This is what Rabbi Yehuda said, or Rabbi Yehuda's Mekel. Remember, so he's saying this is why I'm Mekel. Or this contributes to my being Mekel. Amrlo, they responded to him. The Chacham responded to him. The Chacham in the Mishnah will argue. They say, Misham Raya, that's your Raya? Shani Beis Nitza, does reason hain. The Beis Nitza are different. The whole thing is a gzera that they're going to take from the oil. The Beis Nitza are Zrizin. They're not going to do that, so it's really fine. Which is very interesting. This is like an interesting makor for discussion. Meaning, like you would think that there's a halacha, like you know, it's a low plug. It's whether you're careful or not. Because if everyone starts making distinctions, so how could the base? I don't know who the base nitzah are, but how could they do it? Just because there's there's a gzera, there's a gzera. That's what we do. And maybe, usually is reason, but sometimes you have an off day. So this is a very interesting makor for that for a much broader discussion. Okay, Avin Sipora. Avin Sipora Garar Safsala Beelisa Deshisha Le'elan Rebbe Yitzchak Ben Elazar. So Avin of Tzipora dragged a bench in the Elisa Deshisha in like this like marble chamber or marble floored chamber, I guess. Le'elan Rebbe Yitzchak. Rashi says Le'elan is in the presence of. Right, we're about to get into the time of Le'ela u'Le'ela. So it means in the presence of Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Elazar. So Amar Le, he said to him, Ishtuki lach, if I'm going to be quiet to you, if I'm not going to speak up and protest, Kirishtiku le chavraya le Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be like the same people or Rabbi Tarfon the Zakenim who were quiet to Rabbi Yehuda, and nafik mine churba, and a churba is going to come out of it. Meaning, I'm not going to be quiet. What he's saying, what happened? Rabbi Yehuda learned a mistake in halacha because Rabbi Tarfon the Zakenim didn't protest at the right time. I'm not going to fall into the same trap. I'm going to speak up. And he speaks up and he says, Gzeira alisa de shesha atu alisa de alma. That a marble floor, it is forbidden to drag a bench across the marble floor as a gzeira. For the like the general floor of a chamber. Now this obviously this is going to be a loaded discussion on the concept of dragging a bench and the discussion of Davar Shana Miskaven.
Or even nowadays where dirt floors, so the common case is not
right
dirt floor.
Yes, so there is that discussion, but even more fundamentally, it's not everyone would really agree to the problem in the first place, even if it was a dirt floor. That's going to be a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about the concept of davar sheino miskaven, which on regal achas it means literally means davar sheino miskaven, a thing that was not intended. And Rabbi Shimon's shita is going to be that if somebody did not intend to do a malacha, he did an action that was likely to produce a malacha result. It was likely, but that was not his intention at all. He intended to do something else. It was just likely that his action would do it. For example, I'm dragging a bench because I want to drag a bench because I want to get the bench from point A to point B. And it's possible. It's quite possible that it'll dig a ditch along the way, which will be choresh. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Davar Shana Miskaven is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says it's usser. So this gzeira is l'shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Gets Rabbi Shimon. Are you guys able to go for a little bit more, or should we call it here? Okay. So now another story. Related, Reish Kanishna de Batsra, the head of the shul of Batsra, Goror Safsala La Elam Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba. He was dragging a Safsala bench in front of Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba, the great Rabbi Yirmiya. I'm assuming not the usual Rabbi Yirmiya that we speak about. Amar Lehi said to him, Kiman, whom are you dragging in accordance with? Rabbi Shimon? You think it's okay to drag the bench because Rabbi like Rabbi Shimon? Amar Dam Rabbi Shimon Begedolin. We could say that Rabbi Shimon held his shita when it comes to large items. Delo efshar, because it's not possible to, meaning it was like a concession that you can't carry large items by yourself without dragging them. So that's when Rabbi Shimon matered it. Biktana miyamar, who said that he matered? I guess it was the soft. So this bench wasn't such a big bench. So who says that you're allowed to drag the bench? A small bench that you don't need to. Even Rabbi Shimon wouldn't be makel here. Upliga de ula, but this is actually not in accordance with how ula understood the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Damar ula machlokas biktani. He says fundamentally, where do they argue regarding small objects? Avo begedolim, but with large objects, zirei kol mutter. Everybody says it's mutter. Right, even Rabbi Yehuda would say that the great necessity of moving these large items, the Rishon Miskaven, it's mutter. So we have two different understandings of this machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Masiv Rabbi Yosef challenged this from a Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Shimon Omer Gorer Adamita Kisei V'Safsal Ubilva Shalei Miskaven Lasot Tzchoritz. Rabbi Shimon says that you're allowed to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench, as long as you don't have kavana la soscharitz to make a ditch. Kitani gedolim, kitani kitanim. Over here we said a bed, a chair, a bench. It sounds like it's covering all our bases. Gedolim and kitani, Rabbi Shimon is not here. So kasha tavayu. This is a question on both of them, right? Because right. So is the machlokas just by big, just by small? Well, he's clearly explicitly teaching big and small. Not differentiating, so there's no differentiation in machlokas. So ula matar tzatame, Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba matar tzatame. Both of them have answers. Ula matar tzatame mita domi dekise. He says no. When we mention bed, it means like a small bed that's similar to the chair mentioned. Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba matar tzatame kise domi demita. No, if it mentions a chair, it must be like a big recliner chair similar to a bed. But we're talking about just one general size, all gedolim or all katan, depending on what their shita is. So that is not a refutation to their understanding. Masiv Rabba brings a different refutation from a Mishnah in Kiloyim. So mochrik sus mochrin kedarkan. So sellers of clothing are allowed to sell in their normal way. So what that means is Rashi explains over here, and what the Mishnah and Klayim is talking about is that the way that people would sell their sell clothing is they would model the clothing. They would wear the clothing and say, "Hey, don't I look great? You can look great too. Buy this cloak." Now they could even sell shatnez to goyim, and they would. So now you have these shatnez salesmen selling to goyim, and they have shatnez clothing that they want to model. So he says, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do it kedarkan. You can model the clothing. But the Tana in this Mishnah, which is obviously going to be Rabbi Shimon, warns them that you can't have kavana. If it's a hot day, don't have if it's a hot day, don't have kavana that it's protecting you from the sun. And if it's a rainy day, don't have kavana that you should be, that you're, that it should be, you know, you're protected from the rain. Rather have kavana that, like, you know, it's darshan eskavin. I'm just trying to model. I'm just your average everyday model, not using the clothing to protect myself. And if you do that, and that is mutter according to the Tana in our Mishnah, which is obviously Rabbi Shimon of darshan eskavin is mutter. And the Mishnah continues, vatsinuin and the okay, so the literally means the modest people, but it means ksherim. When I learned it in the Mishnah in Kiloyim, so I didn't appreciate why it's called tsinuim. Rashi over here helps out. I'll talk in a minute. Meaning the people are extra careful. Let's call it that. Now people are extra pious. Mashilin b'makel l'acharehen. They like put it up on a stick behind them, so it's like interfering. So they're not actually wearing it. It looks like they're wearing it, but they're not really benefiting. It's not really on their body. That's what they could do. So now, v'ha hacha, so and Rashi just says over here, tsnuin are the kasherim shamachikin atzami kol lazus fasayim. That the kasherim that distance themselves from any like people talking about them, even a thought that they're doing anything wrong. So it could be that I was like, when I went to the Mishnah in Kilayim, I was wondering why they're called tsnuim, just call them kasherim, chasidim, something. Why tsnuim? But I guess it's that they're modest and they're very, very careful to avoid being part of the talk of the town, and they're just very, very careful in that regard as well. Okay. So anyway, this is actually a proof. The ha hacha de efshen l'me'aved kitzinuin, the fact that it says that you're able to do it like tsinuim, but you don't have to. So what we see over here is that Reb Shimon Shita is that you can go above and beyond, but you don't have to. Meaning, dechi ketanim dami vechila meskavin shari Rabbi Shimon lechatchila. That it's mutter lechatchila. You're like if Rabbi Shimon doesn't, he says you don't have to be the tsunami. You can be like the tsunami. You don't have to lechatchila. It's fine not to be the tsunami. It's very nice if you want to be, but you don't have to. So then probably Rabbi Shimon would also say in the case of he wouldn't be mechalik between ketanim and gedolim. He says no, it's fine. Meaning he's clearly more makel than you made him out to be by putting that restriction on only gedolim or even only ketanim. So what do we conclude? Tiyufta Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba Tiyufta. This is indeed a refutation to the understanding of Rabbi Yirmiyah Barabba, and therefore he is not mechalek, and Rabbi Shimon allows you to carry to drag ketanim and gedolim.